Free agency is winding down, and we announce the winners and losers through our perspective, as well as Justin Fields being traded to the Steelers for a sixth-round pick. Is it really a better situation? This is the Fumble Rooski podcast. It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has three touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that six or seven spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome to the Fumble Rooski podcast by Power 88 and Secret Weapon Consulting. I'm Adam Wright with CJ Medeiros. We have a great show planned for you guys tonight. Free agency winners and losers. So we do this at the end of every free agency class, at the end of every period of free agency. Justin Fields has been traded to the Steelers for a sixth round pick. That happened a few days ago, but we haven't done a show since then, so we're giving our official takes on that. And I hear a lot from Bears fans out of spite saying he was traded to a better situation than the Steelers than the Bears. And I just wanted to go in depth on that a little bit. And just the situation for Justin Fields in general. We've already kind of discussed the Bears and how they are doing their offseason in our last show when we talked about Keenan Allen being traded to the Bears. I think we both agree that it's a pretty good situation now. If there were any doubts before, there aren't any more. The Bears have a good young offensive line, not very, very good targets all across the board, a defense that's getting better. And Caleb Williams, we'll see how he does. But if he is the guy, then we will find out very quickly. But Justin Fields, CJ, I'll let you speak first on this. So he was traded to the Steelers for a sixth round pick that turns into a fourth based on playing time that he gets. What are your thoughts on this in general?
First of all, Bears fans, do not get your hopes up of receiving that fourth round pick. He will not start, 51% of his snaps? Yeah, no, I'm sorry. I don't see that. Unless Russell Wilson turns into the next Nathan Peterman, or he gets hurt, I don't see Justin Fields seeing a whole lot of action there. So we're basically going to call it a sixth because, like I said, barring something insane, you're not getting that fourth. It's just weird because I think I can speak for Adam as well when I say I didn't expect this. I mean, you just signed Russ and now you've traded for Fields, but hold on a minute. Unless people are saying there's a report that perhaps that they're just trying to groom Fields to be, you know, like the guy of the future. But there's also a report, and this is what's been more prevalent as of now, that they're planning on giving Russell Wilson an extension after this season. So when you peel away the angry Justin Fields fans, and when you just peel away the angry Bears fans, and when you peel away the whatever they are Steelers fans, this move in general is a head scratcher. I don't know why they did it, because if you're going to extend Russell Wilson at the end of the offseason, which is what the vast majority of reports suggest, then I don't really get it. Then why would you sign a guy like Fields?
According to a report, I believe, was it from Adam Schefter or Ian Rappaport? One of the two. Justin Fields had a few trade offers, better offers than the Steelers. And it was Justin Fields' agent who said, trade him to the Steelers. That's where we want to go. And the Bears did right by him, and they traded him there. I don't understand why people are upset about wronging Justin Fields for the Bears' return. That doesn't hurt Justin Fields. It hurts the Bears because they got a sixth-round pick that could turn into a fourth, but that's still a middling for a middling draft pick. He went to the place where he wanted to go. It's not Fields' fault that the Bears misread the market for Justin Fields. They thought that the longer they waited, the higher the asking price they could get. They messed around and found out really badly. So this is all on the Bears. It's not on Fields. They didn't do anything to wrong him. In fact, they sent him to the place where he wanted to go. It's not his fault that the Steelers chose Russell Wilson over Justin Fields. That being said, this is kind of a very similar spot to the Bears, at least as far as last year goes. So let's just look at their targets first. First of all, on the Steelers, they have George Pickens, Pat Freiermuth. Deontay Johnson's off the team now. Now let's look at the Bears. DJ Moore, Cole Kmet. Is that really better? I'm just looking at the Bears last year, not this year.
I don't know.
I'm looking at the Steelers going into this year and the Bears going into last year. Looking at last year. But it's pretty much the same situation as far as pass catchers go. And their rushing game was actually much worse the Bears was. The Bears actually had a very good rushing offense based on yards per carry and total yards. They were top five in the league in both categories. On top of that, their defenses are, I wouldn't say the same because the Steelers is a little better, but they're still both really good defenses. That brings us to the offensive line. The Steelers was a little bit better last year, but a little bit is not really that much. They're both very middling offensive lines. So how is this a better situation for Justin Fields? I just don't get it. You go and you say he's gonna own it over on the Steelers. He's going to do really well. He's going to make the Bears regret ever trading him away. It's the same situation. I guess you can make half an argument for coaching, but here's my argument against coaching. People only say it was bad because Eberflus wanted him to throw more. But is that not what they were built to do going into that season, was for them to throw to DJ Moore? They traded for a wide receiver one, and they were also throwing to Cole Kmet. They expected bigger things from Darnell Mooney than they actually got. This offense was built for him to throw. They reinforced the offensive line over the offseason. They drafted one, and they signed a couple. And somehow we're going to say that, well, you're supposed to run with Justin Fields. No, you're not. That's not how it works with the quarterback position. Rushing with the ball as a quarterback is supposed to be an added bonus. It helps. It's a good attribute to have, but it's not the end all be all. The quarterback is supposed to manage the game and pass the ball. And run when they can, run when they have to, not to just sit there and say, run it all the time. Always run the ball. You play better when you run. If your best attribute as a quarterback is running, then you're not that good of a quarterback. That's going to be my hot take there. But honestly, at the end of the day, this is what I'm going to say. This is about the same situation as the Bears. It's pretty much the same situation.
Yeah. The thing is, though, it's just, I don't know. I feel like we all know there's a pocket of Fields fans that will just scream at literally anything that moves, especially things that say that Fields probably isn't as great as he could have been. I don't know what to make of this situation. That's what it comes down to. I really don't have a take because to this day, I am still flabbergasted that this has happened. I don't know where he goes from here. I don't know what his future looks like. I don't even know what the Steelers do. I'm just puzzled, I guess. I mean, it's like, why did you trade for him if you were going to have him start? Like, Fields and his camp obviously don't want to be relegated to being backups. So, but if you don't think he's a capable starter, why did you sign him? I just don't know. I literally just don't know. This whole move was just so unexpected, especially after they got Russ.
I mean, the problem is that they just didn't have a good trade partner after all of these these starting quarterback positions got filled. There was so much talk of the Falcons. The Falcons would be a great spot for Justin Fields. And they decide, you know what, let's go get Kirk Cousins. Sign him to 4 years, $180 million. He's going to be a great Steeler. He's going to be starting games, and he's going to make him regret ever leaving the Bears. They went and got Russell Wilson, who his value at this point couldn't be lower. So looking at all of that, I mean, the Patriots chose Brissett over you. So I do think Justin Fields can be a decent quarterback in this league, but people are acting like it's all on the Bears. It's all them.
I mean,
we've had quite the quarrel with Bears fans the past couple months. Anytime we say anything critical about Justin Fields, everybody loses their stuff.
Yep. And our arguments can be backed up by statistics. You've mentioned this ad nauseum, and it's true. Everybody screams, the O-line. But he does hold the ball longer than literally every other quarterback in the league. Not even Kansas City or Philly's O-line is going to save you from that.
I found another stat from Next Gen Stats. Mm-hmm. 80% of all of Justin Fields' sacks have come from when he's held the ball for 4 seconds or more.
Well. That seems like a Fields problem, does it not?
It sure does. I'm not trying to say that the offensive line is good. Like, I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying let's stop reflecting all blame off Justin Fields. Fields can do no wrong. He can do no wrong. He's a franchise quarterback. The Bears have never had a 4K yards passer. Can none of it be on Fields? None of it? I can understand putting some blame on the Bears. I completely understand that. They neglected the offensive line the first 2 years he was there. On top of that, they didn't give him many weapons until his third year. But none of it? None of it. 80% of all of his sacks, all of the times that he has been sacked, he has held the ball 4 seconds or more. That's egregious. I'm sorry, but that's something to look at. Justin Fields might pan out at some point. Maybe he'll be a competent starter somewhere, and he'll revive his career. But let's not act like Fields doesn't deserve any blame, because he certainly deserves a lot of it. He's just simply not the guy. If it's been 3 years and he still has not proven it, then he's not it. Name a quarterback during our league's history who has actually been the guy after sucking for 3 years. Name one.
Probably none that I can think of.
There are none. If they aren't the guy at least 3 years, that's it. Oh, but Daniel Jones. Get out of here with that.
No, he was never the guy.
Jordan Love sat for 3 years, and then he proved to be the guy. But that was in his first year starting. That's just none of it. It just doesn't make sense there. All right. We're going to move on. Free agency winners. That's next. This is the Fumble Rooski podcast. It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6th or 7th spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome to the Fumble Rooski podcast by Power 88 and Secret Weapon Consulting. I'm Adam Wright with CJ Medeiros. So our free agency has pretty much winded down. There's still some signings here left and right. There's a couple of free agents left, but for the most part, it has winded down, which means we have some free agency winners and some losers. So this is teams, not players. Who did the best during free agency, CJ? Give me yours.
Well, there's a few ways you could go here. You know, that's what I happen to believe. And, you know, you got the Commanders. You know, that's what a lot of people are saying. Philly did make a few good moves. But what about the Texans? That's for me. So you lost Jonathan Greenard. That sucks. But you got Danielle Hunter for cheaper and as an upgrade. You got Azeez Al-Shaair as well as you beefed up the defense, right? You re-signed Dalton Schultz and you got Joe Mixon? Oh, my God, that's good. And the Texans, they're already putting pieces together to make a run. You know, and that's what I see. And, of course, like I said, Mixon, Al-Shaair, and Hunter just in general have just really boosted them. And I believe they also got Denico Autry as well from free agency. So I don't know. I just definitely, you could make a case for a bunch of other teams, but the Texans that were already there and got better, I mean, sky's the limit for them, no?
Yeah. I'll give you mine that no one's talking about. The Tennessee Titans. I think the Titans brought in some good talent for Will Levis to throw to. And they replaced Derrick Henry with a lesser running back. Granted, it's Tony Pollard, but Tony Pollard's also younger. So all they really need is a power back to go with Tony Pollard, because we know that Pollard's not very good in short yardage situations. But DeAndre Hopkins, Calvin Ridley, Treylon Burks, I'd say that's a pretty good trio at wide receiver. They're old, but what I think is important is that it furthers the development of Will Levis. And I don't think they still have maybe a couple of years left. I mean, Calvin Ridley's 29, and I believe DeAndre Hopkins is 32. So let's say they have two more years of these guys. That's a pretty good window. And their offensive line is young and it's getting a little better. And they have, it's the seventh overall pick. You can chalk that up as getting Joe Alt at this point. They're going to end up with Joe Alt. So yeah. Joe Alt, Peter Skoronski on their bookends. That's a pretty good team. I think the Titans here are the unsung heroes of free agency. All it comes down to is Will Levis. If this kid can't play, then forget everything that I said. But the Titans are doing everything that they can to surround him with some weapons. Something that other teams who dress in red, white, and blue do not do. So
fair.
I can give him credit for that.
Yeah, there's one other. And I believe that I mentioned them in my opening spiel, but what about the Washington Commanders? Because looking back, a team that had needs everywhere went out and actually burned cash. So you got Austin Eckler as your running back, who hopefully you can salvage him, you know, after he rotted away in LA for a bit. Veteran linebacker and great locker room presence, Bobby Wagner. Perhaps Marcus Mariota as a bridge quarterback. Good tight end, Zach Ertz. Defensive guys like Dante Fowler Jr. and Frankie Louvu as well. New center, Tyler Biadasz from your rival, the Cowboys. And Jeremy Chinn, the hard hitter from Carolina, Dorrance Armstrong from Dallas. Like, they've just went out and they've completely retooled. And, you know, there's Joey Sly, your kicker, who is terrible. So what do? You get Brandon McManus, who I think has made over 80% of his career field goals. You got Nick Allegretti at guard, Noah Igbinoghene, who's a good depth piece. You can't be mad at what they've done. Granted, none of these moves have that real pizzazz, none of that wow factor, but they've raised the floor, shall we say.
I definitely think the Commanders have set themselves up fairly well for when they draft a quarterback at the number two spot. And that's kind of a big part of what free agency is about. It's not just building a whole team. It's supplementing that with the homegrown talent that you bring in through the draft. And they already have two very good wide receivers in Terry McLaurin and Jahan Dotson. They replaced one old tight end with another, Logan Thomas for Zach Ertz. But they've worked on their offensive line. They still need a couple pieces, but they're working on it. Their defense has gotten a little better. And this is a good setup for when they get what looks like is going to be Jaden Daniels. If it's Drake May, then it's Drake May. But, yeah. So that'll bring us to our fan box free agency winners. And, so Ian Mulhern said, he said the Commanders as himself, he said they had the best off season. That's something we definitely agree on.
Yeah.
King Tex-Mex said the Texans. So that's another one that we are both on the same page on. They're a pretty balanced team. They have a quarterback who looks like he's the guy of the future. Only problem is, even if they do contend, they have to contend against the guy who plays in Kansas City, that freaking frog. Who knows how to win Super Bowls, by the way. So... it says something when the only thing that you can criticize him for is the way his voice sounds. Nate Sloat said the Steelers. I know I just criticized the Steelers for not having having roughly the same situation as Chicago. But I only call that a criticism to a lot of fans who say that Chicago's situation was so bad. Because I didn't think it was that bad. I think if you don't have the quarterback, you find out quick. It doesn't matter how good your surrounding roster is. Sometimes your roster is just so good that it makes the quarterback look much better. But even then, most of the time, like for example, Tua, definitely the roster makes him a lot better. But I still think without those weapons, he's okay. He's an average quarterback. He's not making any Pro Bowls, and he's probably not throwing for more than 25 touchdowns, but that's still a decent starting quarterback in the league. Like, let's say he throws for 20 touchdowns and 12 interceptions, maybe 3,000 yards. I think Tua is capable of that without Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle, or without one of the two. All right. But like the Steelers, they have George Pickens. They have Pat Freiermuth. They do have a first-round pick in this year's draft, so maybe they use that on a wide receiver. They do have an offensive line that's okay. I don't think it's bad. I don't think it's good either. I think it's middling. And Najee Harris at running back, I think with a better offensive line, he plays better. But he's definitely not lived up to his draft stock. And the defense, do we really need to bring up too much about that? I mean, their defense is really good. You have one of the best defenders in football in TJ Watt. You brought in Joey Porter, who's a really good player. They have a really good team. And they supplemented that with Russell Wilson. And if Russell Wilson doesn't work out, yes, they will bring in Justin Fields, and we'll see what he has. We'll see if it really was Chicago just being a cursed organization that doesn't know how to build a football team. or we're going to find out that Caleb Williams is actually the guy and Justin Fields just wasn't. But the Steelers have set themselves up pretty well. A couple of troubled quarterbacks who have had some struggles in recent years, brought in here for a potential career revival. The guy who wins it, the guy who wins the job, maybe he'll play very well. I'm not ruling that out at all. I just think it's a mistake for the Steelers to just hand Russell Wilson the starting job. I think that part was a mistake. That should have been an open competition between Fields and Russell Wilson. Two players who have been struggling the past couple of years brought in here for a potential career revival. That's not something that you just are handed, right? That's something that you need to earn. You need to earn your starting spot and say, listen, a lot of teams around the league do not believe in you anymore. Prove them wrong. Do they get the chance to prove them wrong if they're just handed the starting position?
I don't know. If he was going to win it anyway, I think.
He probably was. I would happen to lean that way too. I also want to see him earn it. He's been handed way too many things the past few years. He's been handed massive contracts. He's been handed the starting job for the Denver Broncos. He's been handed too many things. I think
he's been handed the starting job for Denver after they gave a haul to trade him. I mean, I don't think that one quite fits in.
That's what I'm saying. He was handed all of these things.
Well, and I mean, come on, you can't really include the Denver one. I mean, like I said, they gave up so much.
Right. Sure. But again, he was still handed it to him. He didn't need to earn anything at that point. They did give up a lot. I'm not saying that they shouldn't have. I'm not saying the Broncos shouldn't have. I'm saying the Steelers need to, because he had two really bad years. I guess statistically, if we want to point out all of that, but he had two down years, I'll say, to silence all of the crybabies. So I think he should have earned that here, rather than saying, "This is your job, Russ." Well, let's see him prove everybody wrong.
Well, it's at least his to lose. I'll give him that.
All right. We're going to move on, and we're going to get to all of the losers of free agency. Who got worse and who did not do what they were supposed to do with the money that they had? That's next. This is the Fumble Rooski Podcast. It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6 or 7 spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumble Rooski Podcast by Power 88 and Secret Weapon Consulting. I'm Adam Wright with CJ Medeiros. We are on to the losers of free agency. So, CJ, why don't you kick us off?
Do I take the low-hanging fruit, or do you want it, Adam?
Go ahead. I want to take the... I have one of my own, so you go ahead.
I mean, there's two ways you could go here. But, yeah, you know what? I'm just going to get it out of the way. Come on. How is it anyone other than New England? You know, because you're coming off, like, what was it, a 4-win season. And, you know, you do a decent job of, like, getting any player that's actually decent back, like Onwenu, like Mike Onwenu, Hunter Henry, Kendrick Bourne, Kyle Duggar, you know, among others. And, you know, that's good. But you're the same. You start out with over $100 million. You have like around $50 million now, and you're the same. And the talent is quickly disappearing. And unless you're playing on swinging a trade, it's just, I don't know. It just leaves the fans feeling empty. And once again, most Patriots fans will tell you, you know, you've learned not to expect big free agencies, you know, after the Belichick regime. But it was the fact that Mayo, the head coach, and Wolf, the GM, use phrases like weaponized the offense and burned some cash and then backpedaled. Well, see, here's the thing. He can't really backpedal on that because, look, Cap's already out of the bag. You know, every fan's expecting it. And, well, it's just not a good look, you know? So unless, I mean, I guess my theory is that they're trying to establish a base and then build from there, but because they're projected to have a lot of money next offseason too, but I mean, obviously you don't want to burn all your money, but at the same time, they just really didn't do anything to help them given themselves, given the position that they were in.
It feels like they were making a push to stay the same on the roster, which is something I typically do not agree with, because if you have that, if you have the money, you don't have to spend it all. You don't have to do a fire sale. But at the same time, you could have at least did something to improve your team. I don't want to hear it about KJ Osborne. He's another wide receiver too on the team. So you have KJ Osborne and Kendrick Bourne and DeMario Douglas as your wide receivers. Those aren't, that's not a terrible trio, but you're not really making much of a push for an improvement. I mean, you replaced DeVante Parker with KJ Osborne. One wide receiver, three for another. I think KJ Osborne is going to be a lot better than DeVante Parker, but I don't think it's a big splash signing in free agency. Yeah. I just don't think that at all.
Yeah, I just hate the apologist.
And you know what? And what I also don't like, if you want to not sign any targets, if you want to just keep it how it is, okay, fine. What I really don't want to see is that you're putting so much stock in this third overall pick to draft a quarterback, but you're not doing anything to improve the offensive line. Mike Onwenu is going to settle in at right tackle. Fine. I think he'll do really well there. But Okorafor at left tackle, is that better than Trent Brown? I think from what I have heard from reports on Okorafor, he seems to have the same attitude problems that Trent Brown had. Maybe it's not as bad, but they're still there. He was benched because he spoke out against his offensive coordinator. You can hate Matt Canada all you want. We're not going to talk about that. We're going to talk about how he spoke out against his coaching staff and got himself benched for the rest of the season because of his cruddy attitude.
I mean, come on, though. I disagree, though. I mean, it was actually like Matt Canada.
You can say two things are true at once.
Huh?
I'm not saying that Matt Canada wasn't a bad coach. I'm saying the fact that it's an attitude problem when you're speaking out in the media against your coaching. It may actually be that bad, but I think you need to have class as a player and to be able to keep that to yourself. You can obviously have your opinions, but it's not, it makes it a bad look on your part as well. So that's something that maybe it turns out to be nothing. Maybe it is, but the fact of the matter is he got released by the Steelers, who don't have the best offensive line as it is, and was signed for almost nothing by the Patriots. I think he could be an okay left tackle. Didn't he play right tackle his entire career, by the way?
Yeah, he did. I was waiting for you to get there.
Yeah, that's just So there you go. Ugh. I just don't think this is much better than Trent Brown.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of been my issue too. Is like I said, they just didn't do enough. You know, people saying, but they don't need to make a splash. It's like, yeah, you do. When your offense has enough firepower to be mistaken for a water gun, yes, you do. And like you said, like the last thing I want to see is them just set another rookie up to die and just be like, well, it was their fault.
Right. Because it bothers me that we'll never know who was more at fault. The Patriots for not putting enough help around Mac Jones, or Mac Jones being a bit of a crybaby. Let's face it, a little bit of a crybaby. And also not being very good at his job.
I mean, it's both.
I point to both, but it would be nice to know. It would be nice to know for sure, instead of just neglecting everything around you and then saying, oh, it's the quarterback. Let's just go get another one. Let's go to the top of this year's draft in 2027. Waste another 3 years of our lives while we're waiting for the Patriots to contend. Blame it on everything else but yourselves.
Yeah,
that's something I don't like.
Most annoying part is this has been a very kind of like a Belichickian offseason. You know, like I said, very modest free agency, few moves, maybe bring back some guys. But he's not there anymore. Like, I just don't get why we're repeating his same mistakes without him. I mean, if we were going to do this regardless, I would much rather have Bill as the head coach, because this is like the exact same thing we usually do. So we're going to have the exact same mentality in the front office, just without the upside of head coach. Then again, I do think Kraft did a smear campaign to run him out of town, but that's a debate for another day. Adam, who's yours?
Mine is the Cincinnati Bengals. So let me list out some of the key departures here, because this is really bad. So first of all, you lost your right tackle in Jonah Williams. He's been your left tackle for some years. He was just middling at that, but still, that's your right tackle. Even average tackles don't just grow on trees. You released Joe Mixon. Well, they were going to release him, and then the Texans say, I want him. Your trash is my treasure. And then you bring in DJ. You released your tackle, defensive tackle, DJ Reader. He goes to the – he wasn't released. He walked in free agency. Sorry, I'm working through a cold right now. Not all there. But Chidobe Awuzie, one of your starting corners, he is now – a Tennessee Titan. Safety Nick Scott, one of your starting safeties, was released. They brought back some players. They brought in Von Bell, who was their safety 2 years ago. They brought in Zach Moss to replace Joe Mixon. Quite the upgrade, right? Mike Gesicki, I mean, They kind of cycle in and out, very middling tight ends who put up some production. So I don't hate this move. Safety Geno Stone. They ultimately, I believe, got worse. And don't forget, T. Higgins is tagged, and he does not appear to be. He does not appear to be a Cincinnati Bengal much longer. On top of that, Tyler Boyd's still a free agent. So look at all these players who have left. And it makes me question how much of an impact the salary cap really does have, especially with these large quarterback contracts. And I didn't even bring up Trent Brown, who was just re-signed. Signed. And I think this is going to be the way it works out with Trent Brown. He's not going to suck for them. In fact, he's going to be really good, and he's going to find his old form from the 2018 Patriots, and it's going to piss every New Englander off. It's, where did all this effort come from, Trent Brown? Where was all of this during the other years that you were a New England Patriot? Where was all of this? It's going to piss everybody off, because I think it was mostly he can still kind of play. It's mostly an attitude thing with this guy. And this guy, he's going to go to the Bengals. He's going to see more of a winning culture right now, because the Bengals, they still win a lot of games. I know they didn't win last year, but that's because their quarterback was hurt. Now he's healthy. We're going to see a very different Trent Brown. And we're going to say, what the hell was this? Where did this all come from?
Yeah, he needs to be on a winner if he's like motivated. You know what I mean? Yeah. Otherwise, he is like medically incapable of caring. And if since he starts struggling, he can just go be big and lazy somewhere else.
All I'm saying is, listen, are the Bengals going to suck this year? I don't think so. As long as Burrow is healthy, the team is going to win, because that's what happens when you have a franchise quarterback. You can have so many things go wrong everywhere else, but you can still be at least a playoff contending team. Which is why I stress the importance of the quarterback position. When you have the right one, he can make everything look much better. When you don't, then everything, you're going to be in the top five drafting every single year, top 5 to 10. And that's what's going to happen here, but they still got much worse. And I don't know if I can even name the Bengals as Super Bowl contenders anymore. It doesn't appear that they want to re-sign Tyler Boyd. Otherwise he'd be on the team right now. No T. Higgins, most likely. If he plays under the tag, he's going to be pissed all year, and he won't be there for much longer. And two key players on your defense. DJ Reader and Chidobe Awuzie, that's huge. This is just something that I think the Bengals are very much they are losers in this. They lost. Let me give you another one, though. The Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, absolutely.
They're in a much worse position than even the Patriots. No Michael Gallup. No Tyron Smith. They lost a bunch of players on their defense. They haven't re-signed Stephon Gilmore, who was
banged. And I don't think he's coming back officially. I would be shocked if he came back.
I don't know where Stephon Gilmore is going to go. I wouldn't mind him as a Patriot, but he's getting older. Depends on how much he's willing to sign for. But, I mean, it doesn't look good for them. Like, at all. It just seems like I'm seeing a bit of a trend here. Besides the New England Patriots, who are just freaking lazy, these teams who are not doing much in free agency, the Kansas City Chiefs, or they're losing more than they're gaining. The Kansas City Chiefs, on offense, I mean, they're not adding much because I don't know where they're finding the money to get all their players back. Kansas City Chiefs, the LA Chargers, the Buffalo Bills, the Cincinnati Bengals, the Dallas Cowboys. Five teams who paid their quarterback through the teeth, and now they can't seem to keep anyone. And if they do, they have to really try really, really hard in order to do it.
Yeah, it's true. But I don't get the Cowboys thing. And as much as we like to rip on the Cowboys, I think their fan base has a right to be upset their free agency performance. Because Jerry Jones said, we're going to be all in. I expect we're going to be all in. And then they proceed. What's their first move? Re-signing their long snapper. It's just, like I said, they really do have every right to be upset.
Yeah. I just mentioned all of these teams, but the LA Chargers definitely lost. I mean, they lost a ton of pieces.
Boy.
It was bad. That was really bad.
I mean,
really
the wide receiver one right now is literally Quentin Stonehands Johnston.
Or Josh Palmer. I think we're forgetting him.
Oh, Josh Palmer. Yeah.
I'm not saying he's bad. I'm not saying he's a wide receiver one. I'm saying he's better than Quentin Johnson. I think he's going to be their lead receiver unless they get Malik Nabers, which I would bet on Malik Nabers becoming a Charger.
I think they're going to trade back, but yeah.
They could. Or they'll trade back and then they'll get Romo Dunze, Odunze, which who might even be better. What was the other one? The Buffalo Bills.
Oh yeah, they lost like almost everything there was to ask.
So I think they're a lot. They need the problem is their defense was old. Tre'Davious White, Jordan Poyer, Micah Hyde is not coming back. The only problem is that's what they had, and they didn't really replace it during free agency, if I'm not mistaken. Gabe Davis left in free agency, but they brought in Curtis Samuel. So one decent low to mid end wide receiver two for another. So they kind of stay the same on offense. I'll give them that. But defense, they just look like they're getting worse and worse. And again, this comes down to these quarterback contracts. As much as I stress the position of quarterback, when you pay them through their teeth, you still need to give them something to work with. And if you're always releasing players like the Chiefs are, they're still doing really well with it. They're doing the best of anybody. I mean, no shit, because they've won 3 Super Bowls.
Yeah.
But they're still, you can clearly see that they're struggling to put a team together on the field, at least on the offensive side of the ball. The best they've done is Marquise Brown. So,
but the thing is, they have Mahomes, and that like makes up for it. Kind of like how New England really didn't have any top 10 receivers because Brady was like just that good. See, these are the teams that can get away with it. Whereas as good as Josh Allen is, I don't know if he can get away with it.
He gets away with it.
His interception numbers beg to differ.
They win the division every year. And
Okay, cool. Look at who they're going up against.
Okay. I think that's
more getting away. You have Aaron Rodgers, who took like 5 snaps before his Achilles went the way of N'Keal Harry in the NFL. You have the Patriots that are just a shell of what they once were, and the horrifically overrated, all-flash, no-substance Miami Dolphins.
Okay, that's just their division, though.
You just said they keep winning their division, so I brought up their division.
Okay. You still need to win that division. You're not just handed it, and you don't just win 11 games by doing nothing. Like, your quarterback actually needs to do something. I understand he turns the ball over a lot, but he's still year in, year out, a top 5 quarterback.
And look where that's gotten them.
They still make the playoffs every year. I'll take the Bill. I will say this. I'll take the Bills' position over the Patriots.
Well, no shit.
Yeah.
Like, so what's your point at the end of this? Like, no, I'm not even trying to be rude. Like, I don't get what you're getting at.
All I am saying is when you have the quarterback, you're still going to, even at your worst years, win some games and at least make the postseason. So financial troubles, yes, they have hurt the Bills, but they're still a competitive team. And the Bengals are still a competitive team. They would have been in the playoffs this year if Joe Burrow didn't get hurt. The Chargers, no, not really. The Chargers are a bad one. But the Cowboys are still kind of competitive. Listen, all I'm saying is if you have that quarterback, then you're, at worst, you are going to be a middling team.
All right, fair.
I'm not saying that they're Super Bowl contenders. I'm not saying that in the slightest bit. All right. Do you have any other teams? That's pretty much all. I kind of spewed out most of them.
No, but there is like one very tiny news update. Shaquille Griffin's going to the Vikings on a 1-year deal.
Hmm. You said Vikings?
Yeah, Shaquille Griffin corner. He's going to the Vikings 1-year deal.
That's not bad.
Good for them. I'm glad.
That kid Andrew Booth is a decent corner, though.
Yeah, once he gets really healthy, he's going to be a problem, I tell you.
All right. Well, that'll do it for us tonight. Thank you for listening to us. We have all our episodes available on Spotify, Spreaker, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, and so much more. We have new episodes out on Tuesdays at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and Fridays at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Be sure to follow our Instagram at FumbleRooski_podcast to keep up with our podcast and latest coverage on the NFL. Also follow our TikTok at FumbleRooski_pod. Otherwise, we'll see you next week. Over and out.